This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Tuesday, October 1st, 2013. Five hikers were killed and one 13-year-old girl injured yesterday afternoon after a rock slide in Chaffee County. The Denver Post reports the rock slide happened around 11 a.m. on the south slope of Mount Princeton, north of Salida and 8 miles west of Nathrop on Colorado Road 162. Authorities said some of the rocks are estimated at 100 tons. An exact cause for the slide isn't yet known, but recent heavy rains could easily have been a factor. Chaffee County Sheriff Pete Palmer said 13-year-old Gracie Johnson was airlifted to Children's Hospital Colorado in Aurora with a broken leg. Palmer declined to identify the dead, but said the girl was hiking with members of her family, who include her father Dwayne Johnson and mom Donna Johnson, a track coach at Buena Vista High School. Gracie is a student at McGinnis Middle School in Buena Vista. Geologic engineers from the Climax mine toured the rock slide atop the popular hiking trail Monday and deemed the area too unsafe for a late afternoon body recovery. Rocks were still tumbling down the slope as rescuers raced up to the falls earlier in the day. The Post quotes County Undersheriff John Speezy as saying the entire slope is moving downhill. Rescuers plan to enter the area Tuesday afternoon, but expect it will still be unstable and extremely dangerous. Speezy said his office would ask the U.S. Forest Service to permanently close the Agnes Valle Falls Trail, which is listed on local trail maps as a popular short family hike. Cities in and around Mesa County are seeing 40% less federal energy revenue this year as compared to last year. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, that loss could lead to tightened budgets for 2014. The Daily Sentinel reports counties and municipalities collected about $4 million less in mineral leases and severance taxes this year. Officials in Palisade, Fruta, and Grand Junction say their budgets will probably be affected by the loss, as will infrastructure projects like street repairs and updates. Colorado's economy created jobs at a faster rate this year than last. As the Denver Post reports, those numbers come from a Broomfield economist and were based on job growth during the first 8 months of this year and last. Over 58,000 jobs were added this year, a 2.5% increase from last year. Economist Gary Horvath says most of that growth took place in the private sector. Meanwhile, public sector job growth was just under 1%. The number of federal job openings shrunk this year, and state employment remained about the same. The Governor's Tourism Conference is set to take place in Telluride and Mountain Village this week. According to the Telluride Daily Planet, around 400 tourism and hospitality professionals are expected to attend. Telluride Mayor Stu Fraser expressed his excitement for the conference, where everything from promoting tourism destinations to trends in digital travel and social media are to be covered. The Daily Planet reports Governor John Hickenlooper won't be in attendance because of the flooding on the Front Range, but many of the state's tourism industry leaders are expected to attend. The Daily Planet also reports that San Miguel County has been removed from a lawsuit involving the proposed Pinyon Ridge uranium mill. The county was originally listed as a defendant in the suit, but a Denver District Court judge ruled last week that the case could proceed without the county being involved. The suit is one of a handful that have been filed against the controversial project in the past few years. It challenges the State Department of Health and Environment's decision to reissue a license for the mill to Energy Fuels Incorporated. The proposed mill would be the first conventional uranium mill built in the U.S. in more than 25 years, but controversy has surrounded the project. Energy Fuels CEO Stephen Antony previously confirmed rumors that the company doesn't have a short-term construction plan in place. Antony said the company isn't beginning the mill yet because of market conditions. By now, you may have heard of quinoa, the heritage grain with which health nuts are currently obsessed. But there's another grain with tremendous potential growing on the Great Plains, millet. It's drought-tolerant, gluten-free, and nutritionally, it competes with quinoa. But millet hasn't quite taken off. As Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, millet has some baggage it needs to shed before it can become the next big thing in food trends.
On a warm evening in Denver, Amy Arias preps her food truck, the Vegan Van, for the dinner crowd.
We've got pulled jackfruit pork, we've got fake chicken and waffles, and then with the ice cream, tonight I'm doing the millet and Rice Krispie treat with ice cream on top.
That's vegan ice cream, of course. Arias pulls out a metal baking sheet with a layer of wax paper on top and peels it away.
They are a chocolate hazelnut butter Rice Krispie millet treat. It's a mouthful.
Arias' puffed millet dessert is unique. Few cooks have latched onto the grain as they have with other ancient grains like quinoa. Millet seeds are tiny, round in shape, and can be white, yellow, or red.
I have to explain it, and sometimes people are a little apprehensive that it's not going to taste so good in a Rice Krispie treat because they expect something just sweet. And millet doesn't usually fall into those categories.
On the surface, millet has so many things going for it. It's gluten-free, nutritious, versatile, and grown in America. Colorado produces about half of the nation's millet, with the rest coming from South Dakota and Nebraska. But it also has some big hurdles to face. Most shoppers, if they've heard of it at all, equate millet with bags of birdseed, not exactly the first choice when picking out a side dish.
See, that is the millet getting ready.
Jean Hediger farms millet in northern Colorado. She says it's true. When it comes to millet, many consumers think bird feeder, not dinner plate.
It is a perception that's still out there, but it's actually a different millet than what we're raising for human consumption. And so we're working very hard to introduce millet for food.
Hediger says millet is gaining momentum. Demand for organic millet has been on the rise, riding the coattails of the growth in gluten-free foods. But last year, the farmers hit a huge setback. The usually drought-tolerant millet withered under exceptionally hot and dry conditions. Some farmers lost up to 80% of their crop.
Last year was a disaster. You know, all of a sudden our sales are doubling, tripling. It's really terrific. And then our buyers call and we say, well, we had a drought. We can't get access to the crop. And there's just a limited amount.
And that limited amount drove up prices for millet, making it even tougher to compete on grocery store shelves.
Introducing new products is very tough.
Tim Larson is in marketing for Colorado's Department of Agriculture. He took on millet as a pet project a few years ago after realizing the grain's potential. Millet is already eaten widely across Asia and Africa, only in small pockets in North America.
The whole ancient grains phenomena is new within the last year or two. So that's a sector that has appeal. Low carbon footprint people, locavore people, I certainly think could see some attributes of it. So we're optimistic over the next couple of years that we'll see some growth.
Unlike almost every other crop grown in the country, there's no trade association for millet, no organization tasked with marketing the crop, just a loose group of farmers with support from state ag officials, which makes it tough to break into new markets. Millet lacks a brand and cohesive message. Larson says the grain needs adventurous chefs and tastemakers to pick up millet for it to really take off. Back at the Vegan Van in Denver, a line is starting to form on the sidewalk. Amy Arias jots down the final few menu items, with the puffed millet crispy leading the list.
You know, sweets are always, I think, the best introduction to any kind of food, because most people enjoy them and they're not afraid to try them.
And maybe next time, she says, they'll try eating millet without it covered in chocolate and topped with a scoop of ice cream. I'm Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find more stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. And that concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria. Good day.